Good morning. Say, why again are we here? What's the right answer? He is risen! 1 Corinthians, though, chapter 15, verses 35 to 49, begins with the Apostle Paul saying, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven.
Amen. That was Mark Carter. He is a teacher, I believe, of English literature and other things at Lighthouse Christian School. Thank you, Mark. Let's pray. Lord, Scripture reveals to us the truth, the reality of who Jesus actually is, and the resurrection is really kind of the linchpin. If it is not true, then anything else he might have said doesn't matter. If it is true, then everything he said is true. So I pray that you would speak to us this morning, Lord, for those who have been maybe considering Jesus, maybe having thoughts about the bigger picture, life, death, what happens afterward, what is the meaning of life, why are we on this planet spinning around in space, what's the point of it all? For those who've been having those kind of thoughts, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would open up their hearts and minds to see that the answer, the kind of the big answer to that question, that it's all about Jesus. And for all of us this morning, no matter where we are in the journey of life, pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to the Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are today celebrating. We do it all year long if you're a Christian, but today we're doing it kind of uniquely. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus claimed to be many things. In fact, he claimed to be things normal people don't claim to be. For instance, Jesus claimed to be God in human form. He claimed to be the I Am, that's the personal name of God. He claimed to be the God who spoke to Moses way back in the Old Testament at the burning bush. Jesus claimed to be that God. Jesus claimed to be the singular Savior, the only one who can bring people to God. So we have to decide whether or not we believe what he says or not. There is no middle ground on this. Many people fancy themselves kind of a reasonable, moderate kind of a person. You may think of yourself in those terms. Your opinions, they're measured, and you don't head off too far in any one direction, and you think you've staked out some reasonable, moderate ground when it comes to Jesus Christ. And so perhaps you believe that he existed 2,000 years ago and that he had some really great things to teach and to say, and perhaps you even try and live by some of the things that he taught and said. But you don't worship him. You haven't given your life to him. You don't follow him and seek to tell others about him. That would be excessive in your view. That would not be moderate. But you're doing what so many have tried to do before. You're trying to stake out some kind of middle ground regarding Jesus. But there just isn't any middle ground. You know, spiritual Switzerland, it does not exist. You know, Switzerland, right? We all know Switzerland is the neutral country. And dating all the way back to 1815, I was reading about it this week, Switzerland will not be involved in conflicts with other countries. It won't pick sides. So it won't come to the aid of another country. It won't take up arms. It won't join in fighting to protect. And they have remained true to their charter established in 1815. And they have not been in any conflict since 1815. Physical Switzerland exists. Spiritual Switzerland does not exist. There is no neutral ground when it comes to Jesus. Jesus himself said in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. He couldn't be any more clear about that. So a choice must be made about Jesus. And to not choose, that's to choose against him. So the resurrection is the one event upon which the truth of who Jesus is swings. So if Jesus did not rise from the grave, then his claims are fraudulent, his teaching is bankrupt, his so-called people are a joke, and life is utterly meaningless. And obviously then opinions about him don't matter at all. Do whatever you want. Create your own religion. You know, a lot of people do. I was reading about that, researching that this week. I do that every so often just to see what's going on out there. But there are people out there in the last, you know, number of years that just think, I'm going to start me a religion. I mean, we've got all kinds of startups in this world. I'm just going to do a religion. Not be a tech startup, but a religious startup. So let me give you a couple examples. Have you heard of the Universe People? This is started in Czechoslovakia by a guy named Ivo Benda. And this is just started a few years ago. Ivo Benda, get this, he claims to be in communication with extraterrestrials. And according to Benda, these aliens, they have a fleet of ships that are orbiting Earth right now as we speak. And at any given time, they're being led by a guy named Ashtar. And he's watching the people, he's watching us right now. And he's ready, Ashtar is ready to transport anybody who is a good and loyal follower of his into another dimension. So, I mean, if you've been saving up trying to save up a couple hundred grand to go up to space with Bezos or Musk or one of those guys, save your money, just join this religion and you get a free ride. So, then there's, I read about the Church of All Worlds. This was launched in 1962 by Oberon Zell Ravenheart and his wife's name, Morning Glory. Yeah, so members of the Church of All Worlds, they worship Earth, as well as assorted gods that are pretty much the ancient Greek pantheon of gods. But Oberon Zell Ravenheart, founder and head of the church, he is known by the title Primate, and all of his followers are known as Waterkin. That's creepy. I don't know. That's just weird. And then maybe my favorite is the Bullet Baba motorbike. This is amazing. It's not really a religion, but I couldn't pass this one up. There was a guy living in India called Om Bana, and he had a 350cc motorcycle. A Bullet is the maker, it's called, an Indian brand called Bullet. And let's put up a picture of him. Oh, it's already up. There he is. There's the guy. So Om Bana was driving the motorcycle in 1998 when he got into a fatal accident, and the police came and they pulled the motorbike, the wreckage, out of the ditch, and they took it back to the police station. Well, the next day, the motorcycle was gone from the police station. It was back at the site of the wreck. They thought, that's weird, somebody stole the bike. So the police grabbed it again, took it back to their station. This time they chained it up, they locked it up. Next day, motorcycle's gone again. And they go back to the scene of the accident, and there it is. Only now, it's been set up as a shrine. And people are worshiping at the shrine. And so they redubbed the motorcycle Bullet Baba. Baba means father. So motorcycle daddy, I guess, is what it is. So they build a shrine around it, and every day, to this day, people stop and they worship at the shrine of the motorcycle. This right there, every single day. And I'm told that they have a Bluetooth speaker. It plays, what's that band? Help me. Born to Be Wild by Steppenwolf. That's it. It's playing the whole time. Born to be. No, I didn't. That may be true. But you get the idea. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then why not? Why not worship a motorcycle? Why not invent a religion? What is true? How can we know what's true? But if Jesus did rise from the grave, then everything he claimed is true. He is God in human form. The resurrection is the validation of his claims. He's the singular savior of the world. He's the only way to God. He's the only person in all of human history who legitimately offers purpose, meaning, and eternal life. Jesus promised those who would believe in him, trust in him, that they would live forever in real, physical, material bodies like his. That we would not be disembodied, ghostly, or immaterial. We'll be physical, real, touchable, not fat people. I'm assuming the not fat part. So I've got one big idea to develop with you in these next few short minutes. And that is this. We've already kind of started on it, but here's the big idea. The resurrection validates Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only way to God. There is no other way. So, you might be shopping for religions right now. You might be going, well, I've been checking out Buddhism. Seems kind of chill, kind of like that. Or I've been checking out, you know, Scientology, whatever. You could be checking out a whole bunch of different things. Bullet Baba, you might be on the list now, just because we showed it. So, how can we keep from being deceived by an imposter or a false religious system? How can we choose wisely when it comes to where we place our belief and our trust? Well, there's a story from the Old Testament that helps illustrate and picture the truth of the resurrection for us. And the reality that we can know that Jesus is the one who brings salvation to the world. So let me recount this story with you. It's from Numbers chapter 17. Korin, Dathan, and Abiram, they were leaders in the congregation of Israel who were in the Exodus in the wilderness. And these leaders rebelled against God's chosen leader, Moses, and his big brother, Aaron. And they began a new movement, a new religion, you might say. And they said, hey, follow us. You know, we're better than Moses and Aaron and what they're doing. We have greater insights. We have more to offer. Go with us and ditch them. Well, God judged Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and another 250 leaders that followed them. And right after these guys were swallowed up, essentially, by the earth, a big sinkhole kind of took them, something very interesting. God told Moses something very interesting. Numbers 17:1 is where it's found. And I read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house, from all their chiefs to their father's house, 12 staffs, or sticks, scepters. Write each man's name on his staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house.'" And then verse 5, "The staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout." So each tribe was to bring their staff, their rod, their piece of wood, their scepter, and a dead piece of wood, and write your name on it. Write the name of the tribe on it so we know whose scepter, which tribe it belongs to. And in the case of Levi, Aaron, you write your name on Levi's staff. And so the staff, the scepter, spoke of the dignity, the authority of a person's position. And so the prince, the leader, would hand the staff to Moses. They would write the names on there. Moses took those 12 staffs, those 12 dead sticks. He laid them before the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. He left them overnight, went back in there into the Holy of Holies the next day, and something amazing had happened. One staff, one of the dead sticks, budded and blossomed and yielded almonds. It was a miracle. The high priest Aaron's staff came to life from being dead. So his staff, his scepter, speaking of authority, it burst forth into life and it bore fruit. So again, I read Numbers 17:18. "On the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the people of Israel. They looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign for the rebels.'" A sign for the rebels. You had a bunch of choices in regards to religion. You had 12 options when it came to how you're going to believe in life. One of them came back to life. The sign of authority and validity coming back to life from the death. This is a sign to all you rebels who are going to have a proclivity to want to go after all kinds of stuff, all kinds of religions, but there's only one. There's only one that has gone into the grave and has come up out of it. That's a sign to you rebels of who the real one is. It was obvious. It was observable to everyone. God made it perfectly clear. Aaron had the authority. Now, here's the question. Who does this rod represent? And I think some of you are already going, okay, I think I get it. Who does the rod, who does the staff point to and picture? Let me show it to you from Scripture, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There came forth a rod, a staff, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So Isaiah, God through Isaiah, is saying there will be a rod, a staff of God, who will come from Jesse. Jesse was David, David's dad. And this staff who will come from the stem of Jesse, he'll be a growing, life-giving branch. He'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Isaiah 11 goes on to say that this branch, this staff that'll come out of the root of Jesse, he'll go on to rule the world, and he'll make things right and beautiful on planet Earth. Wolves will lay down with lambs, and they'll hang out together. Babies will be able to hang out with poisonous snakes and not be harmed, and all of that. That this rod out of Jesse will come, and he'll change the whole ethos and governance of planet Earth. But this rod, this staff, was cut down. When the people cried in rebellion, like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those leaders, we will not have this man rule over us. We don't want to submit to his authority. We have no authority but Caesar, they cried. And the rod of God was taken away and crucified. That's exactly what Isaiah 53 predicted would happen. Isaiah 53, 2. He shall grow up from before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Verse 8, he will be cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. So he was killed on the cross for our sins. And then they put him in a tomb. And then just like those staffs in the Old Testament in the Holy of Holies, the rod of God, the staff of God, was placed in a tomb where something amazing, something miraculous happened. He budded, he blossomed, he bloomed, he came back from the dead. He's risen. The same one who was rebelled against, who was rejected, was put into the tomb and left for dead. But a miracle happened. Life came forth out of death, and so the staff, the rod, the scepter of God is none other than Jesus Christ. So now, how do we know that Jesus Christ is the one to follow and to put our trust in? How can we be sure he's the one who speaks with true authority? What about Islam? What about Buddhism? What about Hinduism? What about Bullet Baba? What about Tom Cruise and Scientology? What about? I mean, there's a million different choices. Maybe L. Ron Hubbard was right. Maybe the galactic ruler Xenu did come to Earth 75 million years ago with billions of people who he stacked around volcanoes, then blew them up with hydrogen bombs, causing their souls to cluster and then cling to bodies of the living. You're not familiar with Scientology doctrine? Okay, anyway. That's what they believe. So, maybe that happened. How do we know who we should listen to? How do we know what we should believe, what we should give our life to? Some teachers and Pharisees came to Jesus. They said, show us a sign. You claim to have authority, give us a sign. And Jesus said, listen, it's a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. But I'm going to give you one sign, the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the grave, in the heart of the earth for 3 days. That's your sign. Jonah. They thought he was dead. They tossed him overboard. They watched as a great big fish swallowed him and took him to the bottom of the sea. They thought he was history. But 3 days went by, and suddenly the whale barfs Jonah up on the shores of Nineveh. He's naked, he's hairless, but he's alive on the shores of Nineveh. He came out of that grave. And he went, he preached to Nineveh with great authority. After Jesus had driven the money changers out of the temple court in John 2, they came to him and said, "What sign do you show us that you have the authority to do these things, that you're the guy? What sign?" And Jesus said, "Tear down this temple, and after 3 days, I'll raise it up." He was speaking of his body. Kill this body. After 3 days, I will raise this body right back up again. The one sign that sets Jesus Christ, the rod of God, the scepter of God, apart from all others making truth claims, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He died, then he blossomed and bloomed. Not so with the other staffs, the other scepters. They're all dead wood. Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi, Elrond, Joseph Smith, whoever, came onto the stage of history, gave their sales pitch, presented their religion. They're gone. They're history. Only Jesus Christ came back from the dead. And this is absolute proof that this is God's man. This is the singular Savior of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "In fact, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits from the dead. In fact, he has been raised. In fact, he is alive right now, and we will have physical, material bodies that will never die if you have placed your faith and your trust in him." If. Again, to not choose is to choose against him. There is no spiritual Switzerland. So you have to come to that point in your life where you go, "Yes, I believe he is the one. I believe that, and I'm ready to trust him. I'm ready to put the weight of my life upon the weight of who he is and what he's done. I am ready to believe in him, Jesus Christ." Now, you may think, like I once did, being a Christian, it just seems too restrictive. It just seems too confining. I could never follow all of those rules. And I could never give up, you know, this particular sin that I kind of like and this particular vice that I'm into. I don't think I'm cut out for it. I read a story this week that happened about 15 or so years ago. A fisherman spotted a 50-ton humpback whale tangled up in a crab trap off the coast of Northern California. And he called for help, and a group from the Coast Guard came. They had divers and whale experts. And so they you know, went to try and rescue the whale. But it would be a tricky, difficult, and dangerous kind of a thing because, it's a 50-ton humpback whale, right? So this whale was entwined with some 20 ropes, each of these ropes 240 feet long, wrapped so tightly that they were slicing into the flesh of this whale. The lines had to be cut by hand, which required diving, you had to get super close to this whale, right? And its powerful tail, it was wrapped all around. So it took about an hour, no one was injured, and in interviews with reporters, some of the divers, they remarked on the whale's affectionate behavior. The divers were thinking, "Dude, this is going to be dead. I mean, we could get whacked by that tail and we'd be done. And this whale's going to be freaked out and fearful and all the rest." One of the divers said the creature watched and seemed to wink at him as he was cutting the line that had gone into his mouth and was holding his mouth. Once freed, the whale began circling and approached the divers one by one to nuzzle them. I love that. It was all women. There wasn't one dude. So, Mick Meninga's told the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, "The whale was doing little dives. The guys were rubbing shoulders with it. It's something I will always remember. It was just too cool." Listen, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ all those years ago, thinking I could never be a Christian, I could never give this up, I could never, you know, live by those rules and all of that, I was freed in a way I never thought possible. I did not know how bound I was. And it created in me a heart of gratitude and affection for Jesus that I have never gotten over to this day. I'm going to invite you to come out of your spiritual Switzerland, which does not exist, and give your life to Jesus Christ today. He is the one who gave his life for you by dying on the cross and then rose from the dead, showing you that he is the one, the only one, the only Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given the rebels a sign. Us rebels. Just like in the days of old, the congregation of Israel, as they looked to this leader or that system or whatever, and you made it clear, I'm going to show you so that there isn't any question, there is no doubt as to who my leader is, my Savior, the one I've sent. And so, Lord, right now, would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, convict those who have yet to say yes to Jesus, who have yet to say, "Lord Jesus, here is my life. I trust you. I believe in you." That, Lord, this would be their moment, that this would be their day. If that's you this morning, and you've been kind of trying to stake out some kind of a moderate position about this, but you realize that, you know what, that just does not make rational sense. It's not intellectually honest at all, given Jesus' claims and the claims of the Bible. Either you're for him or you're against him. If you are ready to say, "Yes, I am for Jesus, and I need him to save me," raise your hand right now. Raise it up, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Right down here. Yeah, I see your hands. God bless you guys, all of you right there. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. God bless you and you. God bless you way back there, the back row. Anybody else? You might be struggling right now. When you're invited to come to Jesus, there is often struggle. There is often, "Oh no, what if? Oh, if I do this, yeah, I'm gonna lose. I'm gonna lose my family, or I'm gonna lose my friends, or I'm gonna have to give up this or give up that." Listen, let Jesus take care of that. He's calling you to come to him and trust in him. That means you trust all of that stuff to him. All of the what ifs. What if my family, they're another religion. What if I do that? Oh, they're going to be, hey, trust Jesus. He calls you to trust him, and you can. Anybody else, raise your hand right now. God bless you. God bless you back here. All right, everybody who raised your hand this morning, I want you to pray a prayer. I'll help you. I'll lead you. You can repeat the prayer after me. I want you to pray it out loud. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, confess with your mouth, say it with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, there's the resurrection, you shall be saved. Okay, that's a promise. So it's not get your life together and maybe you'll get saved. Nope, it's right where you are, just as you are. Pray, confess him as Lord, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. That's God's promise to you right now. So you're going to pray, you're going to confess, and God is going to do the saving. Are you ready? Church, if you're a Christian here this morning, you can pray along with them and help them out. Let's do it together. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave 3 days later. I come to you now as a sinner. Come into my heart. Wash away all my sin. I give my life to you. I put my trust in you. Be my Savior and my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.